In 1989, an old man of God asked me a question I've never forgotten to this day. Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. As you listen to this broadcast, I am literally traveling within India on my way to our final destination, Vishakhapatnam, for my 18th trip, traveling together with a dear friend, medical doctor, who'll be doing a three-day clinic ministering to the sick, the hurting, and the dying as I'm ministering to pastors and leaders and church planters and ministry school students and others who are hungry and thirsty for the Lord. Can I ask you to pray that the Lord would be with us in a significant way? These trips are so important. The people we work with have planted countless hundreds of churches. Grads that we have laid hands on from the ministry schools there and sent out have planted over 1,000 churches. And then there's so many other ministries that are coming together for these meetings. So please pray with us, pray for us, that the Lord would really move and work, that we'd be strengthened and sustained. It's quite an interesting journey. I'll fly my route, and I'm already well into it at this point as I'm speaking to you on this program, which we have pre-recorded. But tomorrow, by the way, the plan is to come your way live from India and take phone calls live from India. So hopefully we'll be able to hook that up properly for tomorrow. Right now, I just can't do it because I am in transit. But this particular route, I've been many different routes. Start in Charlotte, North Carolina, short flight to Atlanta, Georgia. Couple-hour layover there, and then this happens to be a direct flight, nonstop flight to Mumbai, India. 15-hour flight. Arrive there, midnight, 1 in the morning, go through customs, passport control, get the luggage, and then get to just a local little hotel, just check one out at the airport when I get there. It's always a fun kind of adventure. Stay at a hotel for the night and then fly out 10-something in the morning and go from Mumbai, Bombay, over to Vishakhapatnam in India. And then we have 3 days of meetings when we're there and some other things, just some gatherings with some of the believers that first day and that first evening, then 3 days of meetings, then a day in Mumbai, and then head back. So we'll be doing some live broadcasts from India. And one day this week, we want to play for you a broadcast from last year from India, Washing the Feet of a Martyr's Widow, that will rock your world, that should be this Thursday. And anyway, there's going to be special programming all this week. But I want to start off today by asking you this question, honestly, forthrightly. It was Leonard Ravenhill, author of Why Revival Tarries and 5 other books, that was famous for this question. I believe it is the epitaph on the headstone at his grave. Are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? It was missionary Nate Saint who was martyred by the Aka Indians along with Jim Elliot and 3 others. It was Nate Saint who said this. He was the pilot that was flying in to meet with these very dangerous Indians who ultimately killed the missionaries. Nate Saint said these words, "People who do not know the Lord ask why in the world we waste our lives as missionaries. They forget they too are expending their lives, and when the bubble is burst, they will have nothing of eternal significance to show for the years they have wasted." And his colleague, his better-known colleague, Jim Elliot, famous for these words, "That man is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. I understand most of you are not called to leave America and be missionaries overseas, but I want to ask every one of you, wherever you live, wherever you are, whatever station of life, things we're living for worth Jesus, the Messiah, dying for. Are we living in the light of eternity? Back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. If you missed the first segment, I am right now traveling in India, all being well, everything on schedule. I am en route in India to our destination. From the time we leave our house to the time we arrive at our final destination, it's a couple days with a night spent in Mumbai and Bombay on the way over, my 18th trip to India. And God willing, tomorrow I'll be coming your way live from India. I especially recorded this show. I've been praying, asking God for a meaningful broadcast for today, and focusing on this question: are the things you are living for worth Christ dying for? Famous words of the saintly Leonard Ravenhill, who went to be with the Lord at the age of 87 in 1994. I am not taking calls today, obviously, although hopefully tomorrow I'll be coming your way live from India and taking phone calls. If everything works out, we'll be doing that. Of course, we'll be taking the calls. Those will be picked up in the States, not in India. But I want to challenge your heart. I want to stir your heart. I want to encourage you to look at your life and to ask yourself, are you living in the light of eternity? Does your life make sense in the light of eternity? And I want to be bold and forthright and make a request to every one of you listening. Some of you have been listening regularly since we've been on in your city, which is 3+ years. Others, we've been on in your city the last 7, 8, 9 months. Others, you just tuned in, been listening. But some, you listen on a regular basis. And it is my privilege, it is my joy to come your way and serve you on the radio and stir your heart and encourage your heart and challenge your heart. I say it again, I love doing this. I love this calling from the Lord to serve in this capacity. I love everything He's given me to do, but I can't tell you the anticipation I have every day when I do a radio show. I can't tell you the anticipation I have the rare times when I've had to pre-record when I couldn't come your way live. I feel charged. I feel stirred. I look forward to doing it. And I want to make a bold and forthright request. We are stretched out going for it. By God's grace, we really are. By God's grace, we are seeking to live our lives in a way that makes sense in the light of eternity and step into that more and more, because we've got far more to go to really live that out. Our team, our ministry team, operates like this. If you came and scrutinized what we did, you'd say, man, we want to pray for you more. We want to sow more funds into what you're doing. And I ask you a question. This time of the year, we can find money somewhere to get gifts that often we don't need. We can go into further debt and get into spending frenzies and things like that and then regret it later. And most importantly, what's it got to do with anything? Yeah, gifts are fine and celebration is fine, but our indulgence, our overspending, our carnality, our materialism, what's it got to do with anything of long-term value and interest, especially in the light of eternity? So I want to make a forthright appeal, as I am right now, as you're listening to this, standing on a line somewhere or on my way to some hotel in a little taxi in India or still flying, whatever the case will be. I want to speak to you directly and say, stand with me. Stand with the line of fire. Hold our hands up so that we can touch many, many more people in India, in the nations, so that we can strengthen and send out many more missionaries to serve around the world as we do through our ministry school, our leadership institute, so that we can continue to reach out to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and make a difference in many Jewish lives, so that we can continue to help stir, spark moral cultural revolution here in America through the gospel, through the power of the Spirit, and stir believers to live for God. Would you stand with us? Here's the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And I just want to send out as a gift today to all of you who don't have this, for your gift to us of any size, or if you become a monthly torchbearer, I want to send out to you my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, which will really challenge how you're living. and what it really means to follow Jesus. The holy war we speak of is a war against the flesh, is a war to crucify sinful, destructive desires, to say no to the powers of darkness, and to say, my life is going to count for the Lord. So my gift, my thank you to you, will be a signed copy of the book Revolution, the Call to Holy War. If you already have the book, hey, give it to someone else as we send it to you. Let us know who to sign it to. But stand with us. One-time gift, monthly support, 1-800-278-9978. I am so bold as to ask each of you to pick up the phone and show your solidarity and say, I believe in what you're doing. Mike, I believe in what you're doing. As you're standing in India ministering, getting ready to pour into pastors and leaders there, to people who have suffered for the gospel, to people who say, while I'm in this world, I want my life to count. I want to glorify Jesus. When we'll do a baptism a few days from now, as we do every day in India, the people who are getting baptized will be asked. They'll be asked this directly after the confession of faith. Are you willing to follow Jesus by life or by death to your last drop of breath? And they will joyfully say yes and be immersed in the water. Say, Mike, we're standing with you in Israel. Dr. Brown, we're holding your hands up in India. I said Israel always, India right now. Thank you for calling 1-800-278-9978. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? When Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5, he told them to make the most of every opportunity. He told them to redeem the time. And I wrestled for some years with the question of how exactly are we to live? I can't say I wrestled, meaning I was in turmoil over it, but I was trying to work it out. If you have the mentality Jesus is coming any minute and just live a certain way, that's unrealistic in terms of why are you working right now? Why are you in school? You should just be preaching to anyone you can preach to because he might be coming any minute and we're out of here. On the other hand, if you live with the mentality of, hey, it's going to be generations before he comes, we just tend to settle down and get worldly, and it shouldn't be like that, but it tends to be what happens. And I really thought about it a lot. And plus, we don't know how long we have. We are believing God for, you know, full life and so on, or long life, but we don't know how much time we have. So what struck me was this. I have an assignment here on this earth. And let's say it's an 80-year assignment. Let's say I have 80 years. And I got saved at 60. And let's say it's 70 years from when I got saved. So to live to be 86 years old. Okay? But I have an assignment. I've been given a job to do by the Master. I have a debt of love to repay to my God. And I have one short life in which to do it. Now, you need to take care of yourself. You need proper rest. You may need a specific education. You may need to spend 15 years in education and maybe preparing to be a doctor and then be a missionary doctor or so on. Part of your specific vision and calling may involve family, and then that takes time to build a relationship, to build a marriage, to build a family, have children, raise children. So we have an assignment. In other words, we're not saying, oh, I'm only here for a second. I got to, quick. No. We have an assignment, and we have a time frame. Is the life we're living one that makes sense in the light of eternity? If we look back at the end of a year and think, man, I wasted 3,000 hours watching sitcoms. I wasted, you know, 700 hours just texting nonsense. Sports scores, you know, whatever the time is, you add it up over the course of a day, over the course of a year, over the course of a lifetime, thing. This is staggering. And when Ravenhill asked that question, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? When Paul over and over in his letters said, walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of the Lord. Are we living a way that's so much different than the world? I mean, it's one thing to say, God saved me out of drugs, God saved me out of alcohol, God saved me out of this, God saved me out of that, and now I'm serving him. That's wonderful, but are we really serving him? Or are we just saying, thank God I'm not the way I used to be, now I just live like everybody else? Here, listen to what Jim Elliot said. This is a prayer he prayed when he was a student at Wheaton College just a few years before he was martyred. God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn up for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like yours, Lord Jesus. Oh, can I just read the end of that again? I seek not a long life, but a full one like yours, Lord Jesus. Some of us will live to be 90 and not have a full life. Some of us could be martyred at the age of 20 and have a very full life. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Do some serious soul searching while there's breath and life, there's hope. Pick up the phone and call us as you have the opportunity. 1-800-278-9978. And sow a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. Sow into our ministry. Hold my hands up as I serve and minister and labor in India this very minute. We'll be back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Yes, it's true. I do love to multitask and be doing a bunch of things at the same time. However, unfortunately, I don't have the ability while walking through an airport in India or going through passport control or getting on and off of a plane or getting in a taxi cab and going down the streets of India on my way to a hotel. I don't have the ability to do that and to broadcast at the same time. So I specially recorded this program asking the question, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? As I am in transit in India with my friend, Dr. Rod, who is traveling with me on this trip, Dr. Rod Thompson, and we'll be doing a medical clinic the entire time that I'll be ministering to pastors, leaders, and church planters, and ministry school students, and others hungry and thirsty for the Lord. So keep praying for us, and if all goes well, tomorrow we'll be coming your way live from India, and every day this week, I especially believe this week's broadcast will have a lasting impact on many of you. And the question we're asking, one that Leonard Ravenhill became famous for in his lifetime, and the question is lived beyond his lifetime. Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Worth the Messiah dying for? Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? All too often, we are like the world. Jesus prayed for us in John 17. John writes about us in his epistle saying that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And 1 John 2, 5 through 15 through 17 tells us not to love the world or the things that are of the world. Rather, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, those things are all going to pass away. And if that's what we love, we don't have the love of the Father in us. Strong words, but that's what he's saying. In other words, when our hearts are set on earthly things, he doesn't mean enjoying a beautiful sunset. He doesn't mean thanking God for a blessed marriage. He doesn't mean holding a newborn baby in your hands and saying and crying with joy. He's talking about worldly things. Earthly things, the things of the system of this age, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Is that what we're living for? Or are we just not as bad as we used to be, but still caught up with worldly things? Not as bad as we used to be, and maybe radically changed. I used to be shooting heroin. I used to be doing terrible things. Okay, I don't do those anymore. But is that it? Did Jesus die for me just so I wouldn't be doing those things anymore? Or did he die for me so I could take up the cross and follow him, and my life would now count for eternity? I ask again, are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? A little saying we used to have in the church in which I was saved. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, let's say all your life you wanted to go on a trip to England. And you wanted to see many of the historic sites of England and go throughout the UK, go into Wales and Scotland and so Ireland. And you just had such a heart to do this since you were a little child. and you saved up for years, for decades, because you didn't have much money, and you saved up for decades, and you finally made all the arrangements. You found you had the great itinerary and what you're going to do, and you got booked in a hotel in a central location. So you just start to walk out from there to key places, and they take the bus here and there, and taxi there, and rent a car to go here, and you've got the whole thing laid out. Wow, and you've worked at this meticulously. And you get there, and you stay in your hotel room the entire time. You stay in your hotel room the entire time. You never leave it once, and you watch American TV shows, and you get on the plane, and you go home. Could you imagine that? It's even as I say it, some of you are groaning because it sounds so painful to think about. But that's how some of us live our lives in the light of eternity. We have one opportunity to glorify God, one opportunity to stand up and do what's right, one opportunity to be witnesses for Jesus, one opportunity to swim against the tide and go against the grain, one opportunity to set the captives free, one opportunity to minister compassion to hurting and dying world, one opportunity. And I'm quite sure when we stand before the Lord, we won't say, oh, I pray too much. I witness too much. I shared the gospel too much. I could have been watching TV. I could have been catching up on sports classics. I could have been mastering what was happening in the stock market just so I could be more on top. I could have spent more time decorating the house. I could have spent more time. Nobody in their right mind will say that in the presence of God. But to the contrary, so many of us will say, I wasted my life. You ever have at the end of a day thinking, man, what a wasted day. I had extra time. I had free time to do this and free. But what a wasted day. Some of us live like that at the end of a week, at the end of a month, at the end of a year, at the end of a life. What a wasted life. There's time to change. If you don't know the Lord, then you've got to take the first step and cry out to God right where you are. God, I need you. God, my life is wasted without you. God, I am guilty in your sight. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he rose from the dead. And God, I put my trust in him as my Lord and Savior to change me, to save me so that I could now live for you and my life can count. Every one of you listening to me who knows the Lord, is your life making a difference? No, most of you are not called to be preaching behind a pulpit. Most of you are not called to be doing a radio show. Most of you are not called to be with me in India right now. But every one of us is called to make a difference. Every one of us is called to live in light of eternity. And you're raising those kids, you're changing diapers. Don't look at that as just wasted time. You pray over those kids and Lord, use me to touch these lives and help me to be an example. And you're working your job. First, you're providing for your family. Thank God for that. But there got to be lost people around you or people that need encouragement or people that need a word. And then the money you're getting, what are you doing with it? Are you using it for the kingdom as well? If God prospers you and blesses you, are you using it for his eternal purposes? Frank Laubach said, I have this minute in my control. It is all I really do have to work with. It is magnificent or drab or vile as the thoughts which fill it. I fear our most common sin is empty minutes. Frank Laubach, I fear our most common sin is empty minutes. I ask every one of you not just to consider how you're spending your time, but how you're spending your money. And you know, if you say, you know, Mike, I believe in what you're doing, and if I said, hey, you think it's worth a dollar a day in your life to have me on the radio and listen to these shows, you say, yeah, it's worth a lot more than that. Thank God for that. I appreciate that. Well, would you become a torchbearer? Would you become a monthly supporter? We send you a new CD with a fresh message from me or a special message every month. We give you free access to our online classes, which are only $50 each. We give you a 15% discount on all of your online purchases. So we bless you in many ways, but we need you, many of you in each city, to call this number right now, 1-800- 278-9978. That's 1-800 278-9978. Would you call? Would you stand with us? Online, askdrbrown.org. We'll be back with much more.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. I have specially prayed over the show and pre-recorded it. Why? Because I'm in transit in India right now. All going well. I should have just landed in Mumbai in Bombay, India, and then passport control, then get luggage, then from there pick out a little hotel near the airport. I've got a colleague traveling with me, a medical doctor that'll be doing a medical clinic while I'm ministering to pastors, leaders, then fly out the next morning, it'd be tomorrow morning, and get over to Vishakhapatnam, our destination, and then start with some private gatherings with some of the believers there, and then 3 days of intensive ministry to pastors, leaders. Pray with us, would you, that God would really move and these days would count. And I want this show to count for you. Simple theme: are you living in the light of eternity? Does your life make sense in light of what Jesus did for us? In light of the blood that he shed, in light of what Yeshua gave, what are we giving back? I don't mean that in some guilt way. I'm asking, what is the meaning and purpose of our life? Are you just on a merry-go-round, going around in circles? Just on a merry-go-round, you're keeping busy, but there's nothing to show for it. You say, I wish I could be a missionary. Maybe God's calling you to be. Maybe you need to make some radical life choices and end up on the mission field. But wherever you are, you're called. Wherever you are, you can make a difference. It wasn't professional ministry people that shared the gospel with me when I got saved. Yeah, there was a pastor of a church that preached a message, and God worked in my heart and saved me. But the work had been done by just regular people talking to me about the Lord. One of the sayings in our church, I'll repeat it again, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. I want to challenge and encourage you through this broadcast to make your life count in the light of eternity, to not live with regret. You know, you can't take back time that's been lost. Yeah, God can bless our lives with extra years, and he can enable us to do in a short period of time what normally takes a long time, but he could do that anyway. But the time that we lost is still lost time. Bob Pierce said this: I can tell you that when you are just outside of heaven, all that matters is that you loved and served Jesus. Oh, think of it. When we're just outside of seeing his glorious face and being with him forever and ever and ever, we'll look back at so much time we lost on piddly things, on worthless things, on things that just didn't matter. I'm talking about the expendable time we have. I understand there's certain hours in the day we have to sleep. There's certain hours a day devoted to hygiene and care. There's certain hours of the day, good part of the day, devoted to work. You're in school, you may be studying certain things, but we have so much time that it's up to us to choose what we want to do with. Here's a perspective that'll really challenge you. This was A.H. Strong. He said this many years ago: what are churches for but to make missionaries? What is education for but to train them? What is commerce for but to carry them? What is money for but to support them? What is life itself for but to fulfill the purpose of missions, the enthroning of Jesus Christ in the hearts of men? What is life itself for if not for that, to the glory of God the Father? I want to encourage you to do some soul searching in these days leading up to the end of this year. I want to encourage you this week not to miss a single broadcast. If you miss any, go online, askdrbrown.org, click on the Line of Fire. You can listen online. I want to encourage you to take in everything you possibly can, because we want to impact your life so that at the end of the day, at the end of the week, month, year, life, you look back and say, that made sense. The decisions I made made sense. where I went against the grain, where I stood for what was right, when I shut myself in prayer, when I shared the gospel, when I took those funds and sold them into helping lives and changing lives, that made sense in the light of eternity. Okay, we've got a lot more to come, and I want to challenge you to get involved in a personal way. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. Where are your treasures? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Every broadcast this week, I believe, is going to be specially important. I say that without hype. I say it with all my heart. Right now, as you're listening to this broadcast, which I pre-recorded a few days back prayerfully, asking the Lord, what was I to do today? Because this is a day of being in transit to India, so I'm unable to come your way live. God willing, tomorrow I'll be coming your way live from India and taking calls as well. So should be a special day, and every day this week we've laid out should be very special and impactful. As I'm in India for the 18th time, I just wanted some of the reality of that to touch you. And our theme today has been a simple question. What are you living for? Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for, as Leonard Ravenhill often asked? I'm not taking calls. Obviously, I can't right now on a pre-recorded show. I couldn't if I wanted to because I'm being in transit in India. But I want to give you an important phone number. Would you write it down if you don't have it? 1-800-278-9978. Yeah, just driving the car. One of you got a hand free. You can stop for a second, jot this down. 1-800-278-9978. And I want to encourage every one of you listening, especially if you've been listening for a while and appreciate the broadcast and believe in what we're doing, hold my hands up right now as I stand and minister in India, as we're making a difference in lives that are going and making a difference in tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of lives, and people living sacrificially, people going for it. I want to ask you to stand with us and to help us with this broadcast, which serves as the hub for everything that we do in world missions and outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and helping disciple and strengthen and train and raise up the next generation of laborers, and helping to cultivate revival and Jesus revolution in America. This broadcast serves as the hub, the nucleus. And I want to ask every one of you to stand with us. Those that can become monthly supporters, if you'd say this broadcast is worth to you $1 a day, become a torchbearer. That's $25 or more each month. And we trust God with you that he'll bless you, minister to you, meet your needs as you do that, and that he will richly pour out his spirit and grace so together we can enjoy the harvest and see what God is doing. If you can make a one-time donation, year-end tax-deductible gift, call us at this number, 1-800-278-9978, or you can do so online and askdrbrown.org. And my thank you gift to every one of you is a signed copy of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War. If you already have a copy, tell us who you'd like us to sign it to, and we'll bless them with a gift. You know, when Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also, a lot of times we think, well, I got to get my heart in eternal things. I got to get my heart in souls, and then the treasure will follow. It actually goes the reverse, in reverse order. When you put your treasure somewhere, your heart follows that, because that's what you care about, think about. I remember one of the nights when I was up all night doing drugs in West Hempstead on Long Island. I was together with another friend. He had asked me how much he should take in terms of drugs, and I told him to take too much, which is just a stupid, ugly thing I used to do before I was saved, and kind of laugh as people were having a hard time handling the drugs. You know, not the kind of stuff you could overdose on and die, but the stuff that would give you a bit of a rough experience if you took too much. I thought that was so funny. I did the same thing to myself. Yeah, I was a very lost young person. And we were at this guy's house, and he did speed, which was going to keep him up all night. But this is supposed to be a positive high, and you know, it's an up. And what happened with him was that he'd get very paranoid, as others often did. And he had a motorcycle that was his prized possession. And once he was high, he was so paranoid somebody was going to try to come and do something to his motorcycle. that he just stood by the window for the better part of the night while we were there, looking at the out the window, the motorcycle. As I recall, we were like in a basement room. So looking up from that basement room, he was looking right at where that motorcycle was. And he just stood there and stared at it because he was so focused on that thing. Boy, a movie I saw as a child and probably a couple times after that over the years, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Like, Mike Brown, Dr. Brown, what is the – I'm listening to Christian radio and you're talking about Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. Well, stay with me. There's an illustration here. And in the movie, Dracula's also there. It's like Frankenstein's master in the movie. And it's got all the classic guys, Bela Lugosi playing Dracula and Boris Karloff playing, I believe it was Boris Karloff, playing Frankenstein and Lon Chaney, the Wolfman. He gets involved in this movie too. And the Wolfman hates Dracula. He's got to get Dracula. And at the end of the movie, Dracula turns into a bat, the old animation of the day. He turns into a bat and flies out the window. And the Wolfman, who's so obsessed with getting him, dives out the window and grabs him. But in grabbing him, they're both going to die. Some of us are so, we got to hold on to that thing. We got to hold on to that sin. We got to hold on to that habit. We got to hold on to that lust. Or we've got to hold on to that thing that is not a sin in itself. It's neutral in itself, but it consumes our time and it makes it a sin. It consumes our interest. Well, I would serve God, but this, but I would go for it, but this, but I, you know, it's amazing when we read the Gospels, friends, when we read the Gospels, it's remarkable to see that Jesus, who has extraordinary mercy on sinners, and you and I know how incredibly patient he is with us as believers, yet he did not tolerate excuses. Read through the Gospels, and you'll see there's a certain holy ruthlessness with excuses, because he knows what's really going on. I want to be your disciple. He says, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Oh, you want to follow me? Maybe you see the crowds. Maybe you're excited by my teaching. Maybe you're drawn to the presence of God in my life. But are you willing to live the way we live? Lord, let me first go say goodbye to my family. Then I'll come serve you. A perfectly legitimate request. Certainly understandable. But Jesus knows that this man has a double mind, double heart about it, because he says to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. You know, over these next few days, I'll be ministering to some people that literally have the clothes on their backs, and that's all they own. And they are champions for God. And they have won more people to Jesus than many of us would in 10 lifetimes. And they've done it just through prayer and fasting and witnessing, even when it's meant a beating, even when it's meant death threats. We worked with a dear brother last year. In fact, you'll hear more about this. Should be on Thursday's broadcast this week. And he was so effective in winning Hindus to the Lord in this particular area. Several hundred got saved that they beat him. They almost beat him to death. He was hospitalized in a coma. And then when he found out there was a death plot, the Hindu radicals got the doctor to be complicit with them, and there was going to be a plot to kill him. And, well, it's just quite remarkable. People found out about it. They got him out of that hospital. I think he was in a coma for like 6 days. Boy, he was thrilled to tell me the story of how the first people that laid a hand on him to beat him were saved and baptized. Oh, friends, if we could look into the eyes of Jesus, would we live the way we're living? If we could look at the horrors of being cast off by God forever and look at the glories of being with him forever, endless life, endless joy in the presence of God over and over, the dreams he's put within us, and who knows what we'll get to live out and achieve in the world to come. But this is the one time, the battlefield. This is the one place where we can make a difference. This is the one place where we can win the lost, where we can bring people to Jesus, where we can set the captives free. It's here. It's now. if we could look into eternity and look back, we would say, I've got to live differently. I've got to live differently. Friends, Jesus did not simply die so that we wouldn't keep sinning and doing all the bad things we were doing. He died so we could now know him and live for him. You know what John Wesley said to his workers, and they were, quote, lay leaders in the day, so many of them. They were people that worked jobs and had families. But then to the ones he sent out to preach, he said this, you have one business on earth, to save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work. And for Wesley, saving souls did not simply mean getting people to pray a little prayer. It meant discipling them, bringing them to Jesus. Why else are we here? Let's make a difference. And you can make a difference right now by picking up the phone and calling 1-800-278-9978. If you believe in our work, isn't it time? Become a monthly torchbearer or give an end-of-the-year tax-deductible gift. You can hold my hands up in India. I'll be getting back from India. I'd love to hear reports of an outpouring of support so that we can make a difference in many, many more lives. It'll make sense in the light of eternity.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It has been a joy to be with you thus far today on the radio here on The Line of Fire broadcast. If you're just tuning in, I am in transit in India right now. No, not supernaturally multitasking, not with a portable radio studio as I walk through the airport in Mumbai in the heart of India, but I especially recorded this show because I'm in transit, and God willing, tomorrow will be coming your way live from India. And we're asking every one of you listening to stand with us and sow into this work. Help us with our expenses here in India. Help us with our radio outreach. I've shared this before. We had a board meeting a couple of weeks ago, and we saw the figures of what we've paid our entire staff, including me, for the entire year. And I guarantee you that all the salaries for our small team that is directly part of our ministry, not the school as a whole, not our missions work around the world, not our church, but just the team that is our support base for the ministry, for radio and the outreach we do and all of these other things, the combined salary for the entire year was less than many of you make an individual in an entire year. So we're asking you to stand with us because by God's grace, we're doing a good work. Jewish people are coming to faith. People who are away from the Lord are coming back. Believers are getting strengthened and equipped. Revival is sparking in the hearts of individuals and leaders. People are waking up to the need for a Jesus revolution and are starting to lead revolutionary lives. And we're raising up and sending out missionaries, making a difference around the world. And here I have the privilege of serving in India with precious people who have given their lives, literally given their lives for the gospel. And whether they live or die, they're living for Jesus. They're making an impact for the King. And if they die, they die for him. I've quoted one man I worked with in India, stood side by side in a meeting. His life had been threatened. Others had already been killed in his community. And he stood up and said, why die a natural death when I could die a martyr's death? For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. In fact, through this week, we'll have special broadcasting. But Thursday, I believe, is going to be one of the most impacting days of your life. Hopefully Wednesday as well. Hopefully every day this week. But I think these days are going to be very, very special. So really be praying with me for a trip in India, for our ministry time here. And if you can stand with us, if you can support us on a monthly basis or a one-time end-of-the-year gift, please do so. Small or large, it'll mean the world to us. It'll help us and encourage us. And my thank you gift for your gift of any size, I want to send you a signed copy of my book, Revolution, The Call to Holy War, that will be so eye-opening for you. The holy war we speak of is a spiritual war. It's a war of overcoming hate with love, of overcoming the power of darkness with the power of light. But it's one that takes seriously the words of Jesus. give us a call, 1-800-278-9978. I am absolutely not ashamed to ask, because this is not some hyped up thing. I'm not telling you for every dollar you give, you'll get a Lexus in the driveway. I'm telling you that you will make an eternal investment in souls and will do something that you'll smile broadly about in the light of eternity. And tell you what, in this world too, you'll smile with the smile of God on your life. Give us a call, 1-800-278-9978, or go online if that's easier for you, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. Look at what Jesus said. Do we take him seriously or not? Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, it's fine to have things in this world. Every one of us needs a place to live. Some of us have vehicles. Some of us have a big house. Some of us have a small house. I am recording this on a nice laptop computer. You know, I enjoy gadgets. I've got a massive library. But I want to tell you, my treasure is not in this earth. My treasure is not in this earth. I try to be a good steward of the things that God gives me. My wife, Nancy, is a wonderful steward of the things that God gives her. But I tell you, in a heartbeat, if she could take hold of something heavenly at the cost of something earthly, that earthly thing would be gone in a split second. How much treasure are you storing up in heaven? I don't know if they still have shows like this, but remember as a kid, I'm 56, so you know some of you may remember this, and they may have something like this, I just don't know about it. Shopping spree, something like that, or I can't remember when these were exactly, but you get this shopping cart or a certain size, and you have a certain amount of time to go through a store and put everything in, and you've got to figure, okay, I've only got a certain amount of time, I want to get the most expensive stuff, I want to get the best stuff. What would happen if oh, let's just say you had this filler for shipping. You know, these giant bags of just these, you know, these popcorn kind of things. It's with the, you know, the styrofoam. I don't know. It's just real lightweight. It costs very, very little, but they're giant. And you took a giant bag of that and filled your cart. And that was it. And that now you're done. And someone else went, and they went to the jewelry department, and there were $25,000 watches, and they took every one of those and $10,000 diamonds and stuffed the cart with those, and you ended up with something that was worth like $3.48, and they ended up with something that was worth $1 million. That's how some of us are living our lives. Oh, if I could just take you with a smile on my face, because this is love speaking, but with seriousness in my eyes, and take you and look at you and say, come on, go for it. Come on, make your life. How do you spend your days? How much time at the end of the day is wasted? I know some of you feel like you're wasting time just working your job and doing the things you have to do. I know we have a certain amount of time that we have to spend doing these things. And whatever job you're doing, say, Lord, this is for your glory. Lord, I want to honor you with this. I want to bless you with this. Lord, I want to be the best I can where I am and shine and be a witness, whether you're raising your kids, whether you're homeschooling, whether you're working a job that's very tedious. Lord, this is for you. Commune with him during the day. One of my friends years ago taught on worrying the word. Like, we can worry all the time. Well, how about just keeping a scripture in front of us, but say, Lord, use me today. Lord, use me today. Lord, I want my life to count. Can I encourage you with something I talked about a few days ago? Start the morning and say, God, touch my life so I can go touch people around me. Lord, I'm asking you to make a difference in my life so I can make a difference in the lives of the people around me. What if this day was the one day you had and Jesus said, show me what you do with this and I'll trust you with more? How would you spend the time? How much more focused time would you give to your family? How much more focused time would you give to the Lord? How much more focused time would you give to people that don't know him? Are the things you're living for worth Christ dying for? Hey, one last encouragement. Stand with us. Sow into this ministry. Help us as I minister in India. Come your way live from India tomorrow. Help us as by God's grace we touch Israel and the nations and America. 1-800-278-9978. If you believe in what we're doing, make an investment that'll last for eternity. 1-800-278-9978. 278-9978 or online, right on the homepage, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I will repeat the question yet again. Are the things we're living for worth Christ dying for? Does your life make sense in the light of eternity? Make a change. Do what's right. You'll have no regret.